All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I have taken us to this dock, and I have a car. It's a junker car. I have a car for myself. I live in a place where a car is necessary. But I have taken I've taken the liberty of getting a junker car with an intact, pristine windshield.
Ooh, I love that windshield.
It's so pristine. It just the
Cole, you've got windshield smile. The kind of smile that comes from a man with a new windshield. Ooh, yeah, la la. Yeah, all the girls are turning their heads.
I recently had the Safe Light guys come out and use that weird suction cup arm that they use.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said yeah as if you is that yeah. Infamous? What informed that tone that you took?
I think that weird our robot arm's been getting around. It keeps tugging me off and I don't care for it. Yeah. I just, you know, when you're just kind of walking down the street and the suction cup arm, TJ's, you know?
Yep. TJ.
Yeah, it's not my, tug job.
Okay.
And we're at a dock, tugboats, Segway King. The pretty king, he's back, baby.
The once returning champion. So what I'm going to do, Gary, is I'm going to pile drive you into this windshield, and we're going to see what pattern emerges. Okay. So,
Don't throw your back. Ow.
Yeah, no, I hurt myself in that, too.
Fair.
you kind of...
Wait, we're at this morgue.
we're at this morgue.
Let's send away for the windshield so we can read it from our morgue beds.
No. So the windshield shattered. I was expecting to read the pattern in the windshield, but let me just check your back. Actually, I can
it's like a dark memento.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just what's written in glass shards and spine nugs.
It says off-world interceptor extreme.
Oh no. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Why are you doing this to us? Oh,
man. This is what are you doing? This is a patron demand from Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank. Frank says, this is a completely unremarkable driving/shooter game. What is remarkable are the cutscenes, which started out as self-serious garbage and then turned into Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. But like Mystery Science Theater 3000 with bad men.
Yes.
AKA what Hill. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. What if there is...
Okay. You want to report a fucking murder? Isn't that not Jonah Hill? Fuck. His name is Jonah something else.
I don't know.
Who's the new guy? God damn it. I had a real dance I just did for that, and I just...
I was going to say, well, what did Jonah Hill do?
I can't remember the name of the actual new guy.
Of the new Mystery Science guy.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, but I did a whole dance before I even realized I was wrong. Yeah, so, fuck, man. Yeah, nobody saw that.
I ruined this soup, and I made myself a cake to celebrate the soup that I made.
Yep, exactly. And I danced in the soup, and fuck. I can't remember his name. Ugh. But there's a new guy who I don't care for as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a remarkable driving shooting game. It's a really bad one.
Right.
Like the cutscenes are very funny, but also I think this game suffers the most from draw distance of any game I've ever played.
This is like down there in the gutter with Sonic R.
You can see like it's a driving game where you can see two car lengths in front of you.
Yep.
Like a lot of driver's ed to me and my driver's ed memory is about car lengths.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like how many car lengths before you stop, like how many car lengths you should keep between cars, like, you know, and this is not following those rules.
No. And, you know, who knows? Like you might just run into another car or you could just run into a big pillar that has a turret on the top of it.
Yeah. That just appears out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. And
or cactus, which hurts you. And there are just so many cactuses.
Yeah. If you're not always be shooting because there might be a cactus in front of you and you might not know it. Yeah, and I think that is a real bummer because actually in your hands, it like this is a snappy, like this game has a snappiness to it that 3D car games generally don't. Like this feels more responsive than a lot of 3D car games that, you know, that I remember from this era did. And it is completely hamstrung. When
you say 3D car game, like you specifically mean this kind of like weird FMV driving a bunch of stickers around the screen.
Yes.
Kind of 3D car game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for that. Like it's not really well animated. Like you still just immediately turn to, to quarter.
Yeah. You're just on the 45s. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it controls just fine. You the speed creep in this, I don't know what the word is for that, but in racing games, like how you're clearly going like 12 miles per hour, but the speedometer reads like 340 is so extreme in this game. Like you just jump between 100 and zero constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never feel like you're going more than like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. I've been accelerating for 3 seconds and the speedometer just says C.
Yeah. Yeah. It's already looped around back to zero.
Right.
So there's no sense of speed. It's not like a kinetic game like that, but the controls are good.
Yeah.
And the actual premise of it could be like real goofy fun.
Yes.
But it has nothing to do with the play. Like you go back and forth between these fun FMV, like Sega CD scenes.
Yeah.
That are actually like legitimately really like not funny in a good way, but noteworthy, like just so really fucked up and weird.
My understanding is that the original version of this for 3DO and maybe for Sega CD, it just had the cutscenes, right? And then when Crystal Dynamics, the proud citizens of the world who brought us Gex, decided to remake this for the PlayStation, which is the version we did because of emulation reasons, they said, you know, we need to make this funnier, more interesting. These cutscenes are real bad. Let's just have people sit in front of these FMV cutscenes and say the first thing that comes to their mind.
Yes. Like let's have them make not jokes.
Yeah. And I think that the addition of the MST stuff makes it less funny. I would laugh at it much more if it was just the hyper cheesy, regular FMV stuff unadorned.
Yeah. Cause and this is just mostly for me, there's a dude who looks exactly like fucking Jamie Lannister. Who's in this in like first season one, bad haircut, Jamie Lannister, who's like joining this crew of sewer sharks.
Yeah. He's like Jamie Lannister, but he also looks a little bit like Peter Stormare.
Yeah. 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 He's not, I just checked IMDb and he doesn't have a credit.
No.
The only people who get a credit are the two couch guys.
Yes.
The couch monsters. Yeah. I told you that story before, right? My friend monsters. Carolyn, who went to a party, and this guy, this like shitbag, you know, this guy was like hitting on her and she rejected him. And he was just like, man, you're just like sitting there like some kind of fucking couch monster to her. And that was his word for like a girl who sits on a couch and doesn't reciprocal about your flirts. Yeah. It's like, they're a couch monster. It's like a mimic in his world, like titty mimics.
Weird.
Like floating around. Yeah. It was, you know, we made fun of that guy a lot. And yeah. Carolyn, my friend, has a good sense of humor about it.
Couch monster.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Weird DeKalb, Illinois dirtbag. Probably dead in a cornfield right now.
Oh, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. So. And we have to appease the one who walks among the reeds.
The FMV stuff is a real bummer. I really just wanted to see the crazy makeup, and it is that particular stripe. Like Sewer Shark is a good pull on this. It is that particular stripe where everybody is talking directly into the camera because it is assumed that you, the player, are the camera's point of view. Yeah.
Yeah, like you are one of the sewer sharks that are going to go along with this stuff. When you the FMVs like are very weird. I wanted them to be more straight-laced. I thought that was more fun.
Yeah.
What you are here is you're a trash man, which I did not know this because one of the things about them talking over it was I was not getting the story.
Oh yeah. The audio of the actual content of the FMV is like, it's ducked below the goofs over top of it, which again, I can't laugh at what you're saying. It cannot be funny if I do not know what you're responding to.
Exactly. Like even in a practical sense, like not only are you less funny than something that is bad on accident,
right?
But if you are doing this, I don't know what you're referencing other than when you're just being sexist because a lady showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. When she says, you know, just to like avert your eyes. What about my hands?
Yeah. I'm going to feel your pussy. Like, you know, these guys are scumbags.
Yeah.
You know, like they're no good. So you play the thing you are is a bounty hunter called Trash Man, who's chasing after fugitives during money. I didn't realize when you're through here, the main antagonist, the enemies you're fighting, are something called cash cops.
Yay!
And all I had was the idea of you getting arrested, being driven to jail, and a siren going off, and being like, "Oh, you found the cash cops," and then you do quizzes on your way to jail.
Yeah,
to not go to jail
to raise your bail money. Yeah,
yeah, isn't that a good idea?
That is an incredibly good idea.
Yeah, cash cop.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what you gonna do when they answer you when you win it big? So like you get arrested and then they just turn around and they're like, "What? You know how many people signed the Magna Carta?" And then and then if you get it wrong, maybe they just summarily execute you because you're black. America sucks.
Yeah.
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 Done with cash cops.
Man, Cash Cab was a really, really good show.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that host had a lot of charisma.
I think so too.
Yeah.
The dark side of that is the karaoke Lyft or karaoke or Uber.
No.
Which is that's the dark corollary. That's the one that kills you.
Yeah. No. When you said karaoke Lyft, my penis went inside me. I just shriveled up. Yeah. It's an innie now.
Yeah. It's there it goes. There it goes. But yeah, I've never done that before, but I don't know if it's still operating in Portland, but it was for a little while.
Ugh.
Where you just like think you're going to get a ride and yet they want you to sing in the cab lift. And if you give them anything less than a 5-star review, you're a monster who hates fun.
No fun. And,
the Willamette Week does a profile on you. I had to explain to my girlfriend what Elf on the Shelf was.
Really?
Who is also a cop. Like the fucked up
thing. Elf is a, yeah the elf yeah. On, okay, so let me parse that. Your girlfriend, who is not a cop, needed to be told about this. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had to be told about Elf on the Shelf.
I learned about Elf on the Shelf from an episode of The League on FX. I didn't realize it was an actual thing, and then when I learned more about it, people talk about it like it has been a thing for a while. There might be so how long is Elf? I need to look and see how long Elf on the Shelf has been. For people who do not know what Elf on the Shelf is, explain the concept.
Okay. So Elf on the Shelf is a cop and you buy him. He's a doll of a cop.
It's to teach your kid about snitching.
Yeah. It's literally what it is you put a little Elf on the Shelf during the day. Whenever the kid's looking at it, it is just a normal toy.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the kid's not looking at it, it's like taking notes. It's watching what the kid does. And you're saying, "Hey, you fuck up. This elf's going to tell me and you ain't getting shit for Christmas."
Yeah. The elf, the Elf on the Shelf is like an Amazon Echo that reports directly to Santa.
Yes. Or Santa, who's already Amazon Echo like in his proclivities as it is.
Right.
You know, he knows what you want. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows.
Yeah.
Santa's fucked up.
It is to teach your kid about the police / surveillance state.
State. Yes. It's the panopticon. And the idea that the twist to Elf on a Shelf is that you are explicitly encouraged to trick your kid into thinking the Elf on a Shelf is alive.
Right. So you have to move it when they're not looking.
Yeah. When they're not looking or when they go to sleep, you make the Elf on the Shelf get into adventures. You make him go like drown himself in a cereal bowl. You make him get a hot tub with Barbie. You do all kinds of stuff like that.
I think you're mixing up the Elf on the Shelf with Flat Stanley.
I might be. But you make him do stuff. So the kid's like, "Holy shit, this is real.
Uh-huh.
There's a cop that my parents installed into my bedroom.
Right.
That will tell them if I ever do anything bad."
Yeah.
And we're not talking about like starting fires. We're talking about breaking your parents' shitty rules.
Yeah.
You know,
your parents' arbitrary rules.
Yeah. Your parents. Oh, like you didn't, you know, "Oh no, I wore my shoes into the den."
Yeah.
"Oh, this like dumb little fucking cop is going to snitch on me and I'm going to get less PlayStation games. Give me a break."
the Elf on the Shelf is a crime because what it does is it prolongs the amount of time in a kid's life before they realize that being in trouble is a fake idea.
Yep. Yep. And I always have extremely mixed feelings about anything that is explicitly about lying to a child.
Yes.
Other than my plan to teach children that dolphins and sharks are the same species, but dolphins are girls and sharks are boys. Other than that, I'm really
that's a noble goal. You can't prove that all cats are girls and yeah. that all cats are girls and all dogs are boys.
No, but dolphins and sharks I could.
Yeah.
Because when is my kid gonna see one of those?
Right.
Like if I'm doing my job right, my kid is not gonna see shark cock. You know? I think that I'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
There was like an offhanded joke in The Simpsons where like Patty and Selma think that all goats are boys and all sheep are girls. I saw that when I was young, and I thought that I thought that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Like until I was like a teenager, and I said that, and somebody like I think almost like drove me to the rendering plant to turn me into sausage because yeah. like I was useless as a living being.
Enough of you. Yeah, it's But other than that lie, I feel very mixed about lying to kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of Santa, and spoilers for Santa, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, spoilers for Far Noel. After the spoiler break, let's put in a good 45 seconds of audio of silence here. Just to make sure people can be ready to turn off their...
I'll put in some classical gas. It's fine. No, but like Santa already as an idea is a proxy for God, right? You know, yes. Like there is a reward that is based on the way you behave.
It's a proxy for God
and materialism. Yeah.
No, but like specifically thy parents.
Yes.
Like it is God, like the realization that you have about Santa is not just that Santa doesn't exist. It's more complicated than that.
Right.
The realization is that Santa was your parents.
Right.
This, like, creature that you worshipped was actually your folks.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's I have very mixed feelings about that, because like the argument for it is that you want your kid to be able to participate in the culture of Santa. You know,
yeah.
The argument against is, hey, don't fucking lie to your kids, like treat them like humans and they'll be better kids.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Also, I've never met a parent in my entire life, which admittedly is not incredibly long. I've never met a parent who attenuated their child's gifts based on their behavior. You're going to get them whatever you're going to get them regardless, unless they are so bad you send them to military school.
it's to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the consequence of saying like, okay, on December 7th, like I stayed out past curfew. So on December 25th, I got a worse gift. Instead, it's when they say like they don't come home, it's so you can like strong arm them and be like, hey, come home right now or Santa's gonna be upset,
right?
You know, and or something like that. Like it's literally a strong arm tactic that you can use all year but really ramps up around December.
Yeah. I'm realizing as we record this episode is coming out a little bit after Christmas. We're recording it before Christmas. So we have this on our mind. Additionally, I want to do a Price is Right with you on when do you think the Elf on the Shelf, was instated?
I'm going to say $1.
I mean,
you win time. If you're doing it by yourself.
you win if you get the units wrong.
Yep. It's like Jeopardy. It's SNL Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 1995.
I guess since it's Price is Right and there were no competing bids, fuck me, I made a bad game. No, they had the audacity to put out something called The Elf on the Shelf: A Christmas Tradition in 2005.
Wow.
So
that's fucked up.
And they're not saying like, oh, this is a tradition that we are reporting on in this children's book. No, they're saying this is going to be a new tradition.
It is. It's insidious.
Yeah.
As a thing. Like, it's like, it's good for parents to treat their kids like shit. It's good to control kids. It's good for the people who made it to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elf on the Shelf is an insidious idea.
Yeah. No. Ugh.
I dislike him.
But you had to explain, you had to explain Elf on a Shelf to your girlfriend. How did that go over?
Oh, it just went, you know, she understood it and everything. It was fine. Yeah. I can't remember. We're so far in the weeds. I can't remember how that came up.
It came up because we were talking about cash cops.
Yeah. cash cop.
Sorry, I had to pop the stat to get us back there.
welcome to the, That's good.
But yeah, like you're going like, so the enemies are the cash cops. You're the like you're a bounty hunter. You are a bounty hunter that is in a a trash man who drives around in a monster truck that has missiles and can call in airstrikes and stuff. And like in the story, you're chasing after these bounties, right? You know, it's like, oh, here's this regular person who drives a truck and is a criminal, a crime man. You're going after them. Are the crime men cash cops?
The cash cops, I think, are also trying to do the thing that you're trying to do.
Okay, but you're trying to beat them to it.
I think so.
Hmm.
The Wikipedia, which is surprisingly like lengthy for a game that has no other internet presence,
right?
Does not explicitly say.
Right. But we were introduced to the idea of cash cops, which is good.
Which I'm way into. Can we talk for a little bit about the menu transitions in this game?
So I don't know how to feel about them. I'm not generally in favor of a whole bunch of over animation and interfaces. However, mm-hmm. it's incredibly funny the way they commit to the zoom and slam.
Yeah, every time you click a new menu option, the current menu that you have, like, you know, goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And the new menu goes and slams into the screen with abandon.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is, but it is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so the level design also should probably warrant a mention. What you're trying to do is like cover the certain amount of distance, you know, and get to the finish line first. The actual levels are not courses or anything. They're just kind of like hilly areas that have lines that you're supposed to follow of like power-ups for money and repairs and things like that. And in between rounds, before you get to the boss fight, after a few rounds, you spend your money on additional like nitro boosts or weapons, or you can buy clones, mm-hmm. which are like extra lives.
Yeah. Which is kind of clever and yeah. stuff. The economy is pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's very hard to like, grind and determine how much money you're getting in this. Like any coins I found because of the draw distance felt like a crime of opportunity.
Yeah
You know, I just like, oh, there's some coins, I'm gonna take them. But I like grinding up levels to get more money to get permanent upgrades would be hell.
Yeah,
in this game. So yeah, that's about all I gotta say about the off-world interceptor extreme.
Yeah,
you know, there's not like a whole lot more to it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to come up with for a long time there while I was trying to like multitask, you know, like speak with my mouth, think with my brain.
Uh-huh.
Try to figure out a cash cab pun on paddy wagon. But I couldn't do it. Like there's no money thing that rhymes with paddy, I don't think.
No, not that I can think of.
Unless my sleep deprived brain is fucking it up.
Yeah. So. And there's probably a very obvious opportunity that we're missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not that much online about this. There's no fact written for it. The reviews are pretty much what you would expect. There is on the 3DO board. There are two threads, one of which is, you know, inside asterisk. So it is a role playing stage command intercepts somebody trying to jump off the world. The message yeah. here is XX.
AKA the catcher on the rye.
Like, yeah, thought you could get away with that, did ya? And so yeah. what we have is a 27 page thread that started 10 years ago and goes up to 3 weeks ago of people role playing the title of this game.
Yes. in a very literal sense.
Yes.
And the person who started it, XX521XX, whose SIG is optimism is the first step to disappointment. Like, oh, this is you know.
Yeah, I also shot that hot topic.
You don't want to update that, buddy? Come on. Yeah, it's a pretty noteworthy as a thing. It's not noteworthy enough to like
dig into, you know, yeah.
Yeah, act out or anything. Yeah. Like
I was
that.
Just surprised that it was a 10-year ongoing thread is the remarkable thing.
Yeah, I'm very surprised there are no facts for this.
Yeah, it seems like they would have drawn some attention.
Yeah, feels like that to me. Also, weird that it's like Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah,
because those guys aren't. You know, this bit has a low budget feel to it, mm-hmm. and not that Crystal Dynamics is, you know, the mark of quality.
Right, right.
The creators of Deep Cover Gecko, but they're the Soul Reaver people.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
like, you know, I hated that game, but it is more capable than this. Like,
yes,
you know, and they're still making stuff, which is pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just did our Rise of the Tomb Raider, like their Tomb Raider
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Yeah,
yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Baba Yaga, the Temple of the Witch DLC for Xbox One. You know,
yeah,
they did it.
Hmm.
There was one review of this. That is somewhat noteworthy. It is GameFAQs, far into GameFAQs bronze.
Okay.
But by Jopi, off-world interceptor extreme review titled Ouch. Imagine you're on another planet. You're driving a monster truck with a gun on it. You have to destroy another monster truck with a gun on it. And while doing so, you discover this kind of monster truck fighting isn't really fun. What you're imagining is, in fact, Off-World Interceptor Extreme.
Okay.
Off-World Interceptor Extreme. Sound familiar? Yep. It's kind of a remake of a 3DO game, Off-World Interceptor. it's not kind of that. But yeah.
It's not a remake. It's a port that they added shitty comedy to.
Yeah, the Mystery Science Theater port. But yeah, so it's not it's not a particularly useful. I feel like after Grammatical King, it's going to take a little while to get like really excited about a game facts review.
Yeah, we're really going to need to like just kind of like reset our level, because I think my expectations are way too high.
Our 0 points are off.
Yeah.
You know, in kind of a big bad way.
Yeah.
I have a non-game thing to talk about.
Oh, let's do our new segment. What's catting in?
What's catting in? for Christmas, so I exchanged gifts with my bandmates.
Okay.
And Brian didn't give me anything. But I got
why are you Brian calling Andrew, Brian out?
Because he knows what he did.
Okay.
I got them both. I got a Groupon for like, and it's like Wibble Woo or something like that, some funny company. And they do those children's books where they put in the names that you want.
Okay.
Like when Homer made that video where it's like, I'm Lisa Simpson and my favorite book is Magazine. that thing. So I made them both Brian the Little Digger and Andrew in the Magic Shoes.
Ooh.
And populate it with their dogs and us and stuff to make them a little customized children's book, because I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And Andrew kind of went out of those, you know, really, really hit it out of the park here with me. And something we discovered on Everything to Guppy is that unboxings and podcasts don't work. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like we used to have that segment, Grab a Gladiator, which was me opening a pack of American Gladiator cards.
Yep. But he got me something called the Frolic Hat by PetSafe.
Okay.
Produced by Zip. Or the Frolic Hat Zip. That's the model number. I'm unboxing the Frolic Hat right now. And the Frolic Hat, it has two. It's very, like, the package is very, like, worker and parasite.
Okay.
Like, very minimal.
All right.
And it is a Roomba, but instead of vacuuming, it shoots a laser pointer out.
Oh shit!
The front of it, and it just scoots around your carpet, laser pointering it up, and my avoid exposure. Laser radiation is emanating from this opening. Excuse me.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, sir? This is the cat toy. It's a little Roomba. It has two bullet points on the front, which are there's just two instead of the nice round number three. Moves freely around the room. Exciting laser.
Do you need anything more? Seems like it has all the information on
it. It does have everything you could possibly want. And on the side, it has little features where it draws it. It says laser projects from back of toy, cute cat ears, toy finds its way around furniture.
Cool.
So if it has batteries in it, I'm gonna fire this bad boy up
and we're gonna see what pocket does.
Yep. And if it doesn't have batteries in it, I'll report next up. And it does not.
Ah, damn.
Not too surprising from this
uses
thing,
three AA batteries.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep, so I need to find those, and I'll report next time on what the how the Frolic Cat worked out for me and whether you should get a Frolic Cat.
Yeah, no. So I'm looking at this. So I need to tell you I've got a laser pointer that is shaped like a cat. Mm-hmm. It's like a little purple cat. It has a similar sticker. You know, to avoid exposure. Laser radiation is emitted from the end of this. I think that is more of an FCC thing that they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is no more dangerous than a regular laser pointer, which is indeterminate. I do not know if this is actually dangerous for my cat. The thing about the Frolic Cat Zip, if this thing moves around by itself, how does the cat know which thing to chase?
That's the thing, is I am fairly certain Pocket is just going to, like, this is going to be an enemy that I got him.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, different cats are different levels of intelligence. There are some times where Greta, my sweet, beautiful lady, she goes after the dot, and, mm-hmm. you know, it is good, right? She does cat things, going after the dot. But there are other times where all she does is look at the hand that I am holding the laser pointer in. Like, yeah. She has solved the puzzle.
Yeah. Like, things move, and that's what cats want.
Yes.
You know, that's all it is. Like, my cat doesn't like anything more than me putting on headphones, like earbuds.
Right.
Like, that's his favorite thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he's just like, oh, I'm going to get some of that. And it sucks. he, like, sometimes climbs my legs.
Yeah. They're similar, like, you know, just I guess the idea is, you know, you want to put something in the environment that is separated from you. So if they need some enrichment, you know, just so some play, they don't have to rely on you solely for that. Like, I've seen the ones that are like little pedestals that have lasers on the top of them and spin them mm-hmm. around. That mm-hmm. seems a little bit more because it's stationary. You know, it doesn't, your cat doesn't have to decide which moving thing it wants to go after.
Even though it does, cats will get bored of something that just goes in the same pattern.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you do need to, like, if you could do that, you just have to make it vary itself a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that would work.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about getting one of those too, because Pocket like has an appetite for play that does not, that far exceeds my appetite for playing.
Right. It's a little bit like a baby's never going to get bored of peekaboo as fast as you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like he just wants to do it all the time and I just don't always want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Gret is very good. Related to the play, I have a little bit of a problem where she will not play if I'm in the room. Sometimes I can get her to react to things. Like I've got a bird on a stick that she sometimes goes after. Instead, she will only play when I am in the, like, in a different place. So, like, I will hear her just having a good old time with, you know, a bell toy. And the second that I am in the same room, she is like, I'm going to sit here and be pretty. I'm going to have dignity.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. No, yeah. Gret's good. Gret has a terrible case of the werehornies right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a special kind of hell. Just, you know, both from a noise standpoint and from a wanting any kind of moment away from her kind of standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, all she ever wanted to do was flop around on top of my keyboard.
Yeah.
When
and because a non-stop source of white-ons that she's got going on now.
Yeah. And, you know, before anybody says spay that cat, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm going to have her spayed here real soon. Mm-hmm. Just the shelter had a backlog. So,
mm-hmm. And it's not the kind of thing you want to take into your own hands.
No, no. And I know that you're making jokes about.
Yes.
Were you waiting for me to do a butt?
Yeah,
we're waiting for you to open
that you'd reconsider.
trying to lure me into start torturing my cat with home surgery.
Not torturing. I don't think. Why do you think you'd be so? Why are you so hard on yourself about this?
I don't know.
Like, maybe examine that. You know,
maybe you're right. Maybe even though I've never done this very delicate surgery on a small wiggly thing, maybe I'm good at it. Maybe I'm a rock star. Maybe I'm a king.
Beginner's luck is a thing, dude.
Yeah.
don't discount beginner's luck.
True. So that's the joke answer. The other thing is, like, you know, at 2 a.m. when I was in the just in the throes of, my God, I need you to not be yelling out a window while you try to ram your backside into my face as I sleep.
I'm like, I do not like, listen. You know,
like, yeah,
I like you.
Yeah.
But I do not like, you're coming on slightly too strong.
A little bit. Yeah. And I was looking like, okay, like, just like, what can I do? You know, every place that does that for reduced cost or free has a backlog, right? Cause there are just mm-hmm. too many cats in the world. Every, you know, just like, it is something that vets do basically pro bono when they have capacity to do it. You know, and I was like, oh, if you take her to a vet to be spayed, it's pretty expensive. And I've already paid for the fixing by adopting this cat. So it's like, I just need to wait. What's funny is, now that that has passed and I only have one more heat ahead of me, probably before she goes in to be fixed, is I can really appreciate her standard demeanor, which is, she really just kind of wants to lay on the desk next to me while I type. And occasionally she will chirp at me when I walk into a room. Like,
yeah,
that is good. And I can pet her. I really enjoy that she likes belly rubs. So, you know, that's a real coin flip with a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a benefit.
Yes. And I have straight up just like played her belly like a set of bongos and she's like way into it. So,
No, yeah, not and not all cats. Like Pocket is not into belly rubs. He's actually very easygoing.
Uh-huh.
But his belly rub is a no zone for now. But he's super fine with me messing with the beans.
Yeah.
Pete's and beans and his face are all fine. Just the belly.
Yeah, yeah. No. I will just pick up Greta's hands and just like shake it every once in a while. Just like
that's fun.
Yeah. She's totally good. Down with it. She is just a very low maintenance, cool, beautiful cat. I was very proud during Duckstream that people just kind of lost their shit when she was on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really fun having an animal companion. I see why Rangers do it.
Yeah, it's your little buddy.
Yeah.
Cole and Boo and Rangers and you can pat her butt for goodness. They're good. Mm-hmm. Pocket knows I'm talking about him now. He probably doesn't because his brain's the size of a hazelnut, but he's over there hanging out. He's it sounds like Greta's the same way. Like I love that Pocket because he's very social.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if we're not hanging out, he just needs to be in the same room.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if I go to the bathroom, if I go to the kitchen, he just wants to be around.
Yeah.
If I go lay down, he always comes and lays down. Like he's just very like got to be close.
Yeah, and I've been super glad. Basically, whenever I've brought new people over, she's been super curious and gone up to them and gratefully accepted scratches and stuff. And you know, she hasn't kind of run away, which is a benefit.
Yeah. I don't really necessarily understand I do understand like the attitude that like cats are just this like standoffish, shitty, mean animal.
I mean,
and it just has not been my experience
in relation to dogs. Maybe.
Well, maybe, but like also just he's clearly very social.
Yeah.
Like he just wants to be around just cause he's not all over, like, you know, constantly on top of me doesn't mean anything,
yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, so that's probably about it.
I think so. That's what's Catnin.
That is what's Catnin, and that's Abject Suffering. Is this a premium?
No, this is regular, and it is also regular. After the first of the year.
All right. Well, you know, pay attention to that podcast you already listened to and paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Why not pay attention to it again?
Yeah.
If you like this show, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Hey, $5 backers, in addition to Abject Suffering, you now get Bonfireside Chat.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But if you don't support us, consider doing it. You can head over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and check out what we have on offer.
Please do.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, please spread the word. And if you are able to, go to the Apple Podcast directory and leave us ratings and reviews. We really like when that happens. Additionally, by the time this episode comes out, I believe we will be on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Which opens up some cool stuff. Like you can listen to us on your Echoes around your house if you like to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just tell the Echo like, hey, summer come me, baby.
Yep.
come, my baby. Summer come, me, baby. You're a butterfly, sugar baby.
Yeah.
And then it will actually happen.
Yes.
So, yeah. And, until next time, who is, I don't want to say who is cop, who is police dog.
Who is Jonah Hill? Because we're pretty unclear on this.
Yeah, I got it confused with another guy.